ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 श्रीमद् भागवतम 10th कैंटो Chapter 2, Prayers by the Demigods, Text 31. Sayang samuttirja sudustaram duman. Bhavar navang bhimam adabhrasaurhida. भवत् पदाम्बो रुहनावमत्रते निधाय जाता सदनुग्रह भवान। Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. O Lord, who resemble the shining sun, you are always ready to fulfill the desire of your devotees. And therefore you are known as a desire tree, Bansha Kalputaru. When acharyas completely take shelter under your lotus feet in order to cross the fierce ocean of nations, they leave behind on earth the method by which they cross. And because you are very merciful to your other devotees, you accept this method to help them. Please repeat after me. O Lord,
O Lord,
who resemble the shining sun,
you
are always ready to fulfill the desires
of your devotee.
And therefore, you are known as
a desire tree,
Bansha Kalputaru.
When acharyas completely take shelter under your lotus feet,
in order to cross the fierce ocean of nations,
they leave behind on earth
the method by which they cross.
And because you are very merciful to your other devotees,
you accept this method
to help them.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The statement reveals how the merciful acharyas and the merciful Supreme Personality of Godhead together help the serious devotee who wants to return home back to Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his teaching to Rupa Goswami said, Brahmando bhramite kono bhagyoban jeev guru krishna prasade pai bhakti lata bij. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 19th chapter text 151. One can achieve the seed of bhakti lata devotional service by the mercy of guru and krishna. The duty of the guru is to find the means according to the time, the circumstances and the candidate by which one can be induced to render devotional service, which Krishna accepts from a candidate who wants to be successful in going back home, back to Godhead. After wandering throughout the universe, a fortunate person within this material world seeks shelter of such a guru or acharya who trains the devotee in the suitable ways to render service according to the circumstances, so that the Supreme Personality of Godhead will accept the service. This makes it easier for the candidates to reach the ultimate destination. The acharya's duty, therefore, is to find the means by which devotees may render service according to references from Shastra. Rupa Goswami, for example, in order to help subsequent devotees, published such devotional books as Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Thus, it is the duty of the acharya to publish books that will help future candidates take up the method of service and become eligible to return home, back to Godhead, by the mercy of the Lord. In our Krishna consciousness movement, this same path is being prescribed and followed. Thus the devotees have been advised to refrain from four sinful activities, illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating and gambling, and to chant 16 rounds a day. These are bona fide instructions, because in the Western countries constant chanting is not possible. One should not artificially imitate Haridas Thakur, but should follow this method. Krishna will accept a devotee who strictly follows the regulative principles and the method of prescribed in the various books and literatures published by the authorities. The Acharya gives the suitable method for crossing the ocean of nations by accepting the boat of the Lord's lotus feet. And if this method is strictly followed, the followers will ultimately reach the destination by the grace of the Lord. This method is called Acharya Sampradaya. It is therefore said, Sampradaya Vihinaje Mantraste Nishfala Mataha, Padma Puran. The Acharya Sampradaya is strictly bona fide. Therefore, one must accept the Acharya Sampradaya. Otherwise, one's endeavor will be futile. Srila Narottam Das Thakur therefore sings, Tadero Charano Shevi Bhakto Shanebash Janame Janame Hai Ei Abhilash. One must worship the lotus feet of the Acharya and live within the society of devotees. Then one's endeavor to cross over the nations will surely be successful. Swayam samuttir jasudus tarang duman bhavar navam bhimam adabhra saurhida bhavat padambho ruhanabha matrate nidhaya jata sadanukraho bhavan. So the demigods are offering worship to Krishna when he was in the womb of his mother Devaki in the prison of Kamsa. Prayers are actually an honest expression of one's understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And generally the prayers are offering the glorifications of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna is endowed with all kinds of wonderful qualities. So when we describe those qualities of Krishna, they automatically become glorification of the Supreme Personality of God. So here the demigods are offering prayers to Krishna. Now, are these prayers like something like flattery? No, they're genuine glorification. What is the difference between flattery and glorification? Prithu Maharaj actually pointed out to them when they were glorifying about him, what he will do in future. Prithu Maharaj said that, look, it's just sounding like flattery. I haven't done that. Now you are saying that I have done, I am this, I am that, but I haven't displayed that. So people will think that you are necessarily exaggerating my quality. So that is the difference between flattery and glorification. Flattery is unreal, untruth. It's not founded on proper foundation. But glorification is different. The person is endowed with all those qualities and we speak about them. Then they become glorification. So here we are seeing a very wonderful glorification of the Lord, which is indicating that only by your mercy that one can get across the material nature. And in this material nature, your mercy flows through your very dear devotees, the acharyas, those who take up the responsibility to spread Krishna consciousness. Krishna is very fond of Krishna consciousness spreading. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that no one is dear to him than those who preach the glory of Krishna. So that is, preaching means singing the glory of Krishna. So those who glorify Krishna to others and make them understand about Krishna's supreme position and the benefit of becoming connected to Krishna, they are indeed very, very fortunate. Therefore, Prabhupada was very emphatic that we should not be satisfied just by practicing devotional service ourselves. We must take it upon ourselves to inspire others also to take to Krishna consciousness. And so how will that happen? Simply by glorifying Krishna. And that is the meaning of Sankirtan. When you make people understand who Krishna is, how great Krishna is, then automatically they will surrender. When we recognize the greatness of Krishna, when we recognize the benefit of becoming devotees of Krishna, when we recognize how rewarding it is to become a devotee of Krishna, then everybody will be interested to become a devotee of Krishna. But if we just sit at home or some corner of the temple and chant, not go out and preach, then the proper glorification will not take place. When you go out and make people understand how wonderful Krishna is, then they'll fall in love with Krishna. If we may even make people understand that surrendering to Krishna will deliver them from all their miserable condition, people will accept it. The world situation is becoming so difficult. So many people have lost their whole life savings due to this credit crunch. Now at a time like that, what happens? One feels completely helpless. Can you imagine a 70-year-old man? All the money that he saved throughout his entire life, he puts it in the investment. And then one fine morning, he becomes aware that it's all gone. Can you imagine? All of a sudden, this man becomes a pauper. He doesn't have anybody to take care of him. His sons and daughters have left him. He thought, this with my savings I'll live in a somewhat comfortable life, not depending upon anybody, and then all of a sudden all the money is gone. So how does one feel at a time like that? But if you go and tell him, don't worry, Krishna is there. You are worried that you won't have your money, you won't have food to eat, but Krishna will provide, don't worry. Just chant Hare Krishna. And at the same time, we also have to give them that assurance. Don't worry, come to us. Chant Hare Krishna, we'll take care of you. That is what Prabhupada actually wanted. Prabhupada used to say, you just surrender to Krishna, I'll take care of you. In a country like India, where thousands and millions of poverty-stricken people. And sometimes some reporters challenge Prabhupada. What will you do if all these people come to you? He said, that's none of your business. Let them come, I'll take care of them. Bring them, I will take care of them. So that should be our attitude. When we tell people that Krishna will take care of you, as Krishna's representative, we should be prepared to take care of them. Not that Krishna will take care of you, and when they come, oh please, don't become my burden. Don't become my responsibility. Go to an old age home. Or go to some, what's it called? The people, the homeless. Go to the shelter for the homeless. Don't come to us. No. Our mood should be completely reassuring. You come to us. Krishna will take care of you. And will it be difficult? Time and time again we have seen in
our scriptures, how Krishna takes care. Do you remember the incidents of Mrigari? Mrigari's anxiety was, if I stop hunting, then what will happen? How will I maintain my family? Narad Muni said, don't worry. You just chant Hare Krishna. You become a devotee of Krishna. And Mrigari just accepted Narad Muni's instructions and he started to chant. He gave up his occupation as a hunter and he just became a devotee. And all the village people saw that Mrigari became a devotee. Mrigari became a saint. So they used to come to see him. A hunter became saint. And when people come, they bring something with them. So Mrigari started to get so much supply, so much bhoga, that he started to feed everybody. So that is what Krishna consciousness is like. Krishna takes care. That this is how we should actually think of preaching. Not only those who will come to our temple only, we'll just have them have Sunday feast organized for them. No. Our mood should be okay. You are in difficulty, surrender to Krishna. Krishna will take care of you. And at least about your food and other things, we'll take care. Just come to us. We are offering bhoga to Krishna and we'll share Krishna prasad. Now maybe we are five people in the temple, we are sharing the rajbhog offering. 10 people will come, well, it's okay, fine. We'll share it among ourselves. The next day we'll make arrangements that we'll make bigger offering. Bigger bhoga for rajbhoga. Then 20 people will come. It's fine. And we will. There is always prasad for Krishna. Prabhupada, that's how Prabhupada actually wanted to have our prasad distribution. Prabhupada's one early instruction actually was that whenever somebody comes to a temple, he should get prasad. Whoever comes to a temple, there should be prasad. What he should get? He should get some puri, he should get some sabji, he should get some halwa. And Prabhupada said, cook that for 20 people. Make arrangements for 20 people in each go. So make the dough ready, sabji is ready, halwa is ready. And as soon as they come, you fry the puri. Dough is ready, it will take just a few minutes to fry the puri. Serve them hot puri, sabji, halwa. And if that lot is finished, then make another for another 20. If that lot is finished, make for another 20. And whatever is left over, if there is some left over, the brahmacharis will come after distributing books in the evening and they will take care of that. And now the question is, where will the money come? When we serve Krishna, we have to have the confidence, money will come. If we serve Krishna, Lakshmi Devi will send all the money that we need. If there is scarcity of money today, that is because we stopped to serve Krishna. That's why Lakshmi Devi said that. You don't need money. Why should I give you any money? You are not serving Krishna. If we serve Krishna, Lakshmi Devi will give everything that we need. After all, we are dealing with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We are not dealing with some fictitious character. He is real. He is the Supreme Proprietor. He is the Supreme Controller. And Lakshmi Devi is His eternal consort, who is the Goddess of Fortune. All the wealth belongs to her. So if she sees that we are serving Krishna, she will go out of her way to help us. So we should never think that how shall we shoulder the responsibility, where the money will come.
Rather, we should not worry about that. And we should be confident that it will be there. And world situation will become more and more critical. And the more critical it becomes, we should consider that it's a bigger opportunity to preach. Today our temples are empty. If we start preaching, you know, hundreds of people, thousands of people will come. When they're in difficulty and they see that we are actually giving them the shelter, then yes, they'll come to us. So world situation will become critical, our opportunity for preaching will increase. So we shouldn't worry, oh, credit crunch, what will happen to us? Credit crunch is for those people. Those who don't have any spiritual credit. But those who are devotees of Krishna, they have spiritual credit. Their credit will never crunch. Rather, they'll keep on increasing more and more. The more you serve Krishna, the more credit we'll get. So with full confidence, you should actually serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What is our business? Our business is, as it has been mentioned here, take people across the ocean of material nature. The boat is there. Like yesterday we discussed, what is that boat? Krishna's lotus feet becomes the boat. We take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, and the lotus feet becomes lotus boat. And it takes us across. And here he's saying, although it's taking us across, again it comes back to take others. While it is taking us across, it's here to take others. While they're taking others, it's there to take others. So that is the transcendental arrangement of Krishna. Normal boat, one boat goes, then it reaches the other shore, and then it may come back or may not come back. But this boat is very, very special. There are unlimited boats to take unlimited number of people across the ocean of material nature. So we should have full confidence in this process. It works. It works. It's Krishna's divine arrangement. And the more we try to help others, the more Krishna's mercy will flow. Krishna is not a miser. Krishna never says that, well, I can give you only this much. Krishna says, unlimited number, unlimited amount. Let unlimited number of people come and I will give them unlimited amount of mercy. And we are representing Him, so why should we be worried about it? The supply, the demand is there, the supply will be there. And that is how this movement is going to spread. Therefore, we must consider the difficulties in the external material nature, the crisis in the material nature is to our advantage. We should not be afraid. Jai Shri Shri Gaurnitai Ki Jai, Jai Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshmanai, Jai Shri Shri Giridhari Gopal. And devotees will never face unemployment. There is no unemployment in Krishna's world. Everybody has enough service. There is not enough. Like, how do the devotees feel? I wish I had 48 hours a day instead of 24 hours. There's so much to do, I don't have enough time. So that is the devotee's attitude. Unemployment is another misfortune that has been created by this world. Their employment is only a conditional or selfish appointment. They will employ people only when they can exploit them, which means by paying them $100, they'll make $500. That is why they employ. They give them $500, and the people getting $500, $100 things, I'm so happy I got a job. Now my life is successful. I got a job. Now I can rent a house. Now I can get married. And so forth. That is how they think. But actually those who are employing, how they are thinking. They are thinking, okay, I am giving this guy $100. Like I should make at least $500. Better try to make $600, $700, $800 out of it. Let him work like a monkey. And I'll make my profit. And when he can't make that profit, then he's okay, fired. He is not giving the job out of his love and sympathy for those people. And this education system is also preparing them to become slaves of this system. Working so hard, so for what? So that they can get a job. But we don't need all those mundane qualification and education. We don't need anything from this world. And everybody has employment. Okay, you have nothing to do, just go sit in the corner and chant Hare Krishna. That's an employment. You have some time to do? You have some time to render some service? Okay, clean the floor of the temple. You are free? Go to the kitchen and cut the vegetables. Go to the garden and take care of the plants. So there is always something to do. Like there is in Krishna's world, there is no unemployment. Okay, you have nothing to do? Okay, sit in front of the deities and sing some bhajan. So always there is something, some service we can render to the Lord. And if we do that, Krishna will be pleased and Krishna will give us everything. But if we don't, then Krishna will take everything away. Like look at the world situation, what is happening? The rivers are drying out. There is an acute shortage of water in India today. India, can you imagine? The most fertile land is becoming a desert. Why? Okay, don't serve Krishna and that's what will happen. Don't surrender to Krishna, that's what's going to happen. Jamuna is becoming dry. So many rivers are becoming dry. And if there is no water, then what will happen? If there is no water, there won't be any food. Not only in India, in Australia, in Sydney area, I heard for last so many years there hasn't been rain. Isn't it? How many years there was not? There's a drought. So, you know, you lead a sinful life, you kill cows, abort babies, eat meat, indulge in sinful activities, what will be the consequence? This will be the consequence. But you surrender to Krishna and render devotional service, everything will be there in abundance. They may not understand that, but at least we should have full confidence in that and we should be acting with that understanding in that platform. That is how we have to bring some sanity in this mad world. Hare Krishna, Gaur Premanande, Hare Hare. Does anybody have any question? Yes, Swami Krishna.
Maharaj, with this credit crunch and all this economy down, we are planning for a larger temple, then people say we have to be practical, we have to reduce expenses, reduce. So how we should go along and how we could simultaneously achieve preaching over bringing people, cutting this down? Where is the compromise? And
it's your project, you have to decide. Are you asking me?
I'm asking your advice.
We have to, we have to do things according to the time, place and necessity, right? Like, we have to make practical, moves to practical decisions. Like, and I'm sure you will see it yourself. That's why my advice will be, my suggestion will be, remain open. Like, whatever is necessary, just do that. It is not that because I have planned, I have to do it. We have to listen to what Krishna's plan is. And we have to move according to Krishna's arrangement, Krishna's plans. And, Krishna will guide us. Krishna will give us the intelligence. Like, for example, there's a credit crunch. There is hundreds of people, thousands of people are starving. Naturally, government will think of some ways. They will look for some organizations that they can trust and they can... So we can go forward and say, we'll do it. Right? We'll do it. And the government will give all the facilities. Then, probably we can use that land for, food distribution arrangement. Right? And then what will happen when the government sees that we are actually honest and genuine? They'll give all the help. I'm experiencing that in Ujjain actually. We started this, the Indian government has a program called Midday Meal. And Midday Meal project, that is to feed the school children. You see, in India, children, from poverty stricken houses, they don't think of going to school or... So government started this system thinking that if we can give them food, then because they'll get food, they'll send their children to come to school. And we started with 25,000 people and 25,000 children. And in Madhya Pradesh we had a big challenge. In other places they can serve khichdi and rice, which is easy to cook. Right, but we had Madhya Pradesh. They wanted chapati because they have only wheat to give, no rice. So it was a challenge. And 25,000 children means each child gets 3 chapatis. So that means 75,000 chapatis. It's impossible to make them by rolling them. So that's why we had to. It was a challenge. So we got a machine. Chapati making machine that makes 10,000 chapatis per hour, and we earn such a goodwill now that their government people are asking to us. First of all, they said that now you expand it, take Devas district. But I said no, because we already, you see, like, it's a big investment, big headache, big organization. Some people, what actually happens, normally people make money out of this project. Right? Whereas we are putting money to undertake this project. So they are not fools, so they could see that, what we are doing as opposed to what they had been doing. So that's why they are saying, take up Devas. And take up Devas means, to set up another, set up like that, and machines and things, So we said, no, we are not really ready for that. So then recently means about a couple of months back, the government officials came to us to supply food to the prisoners in the prison. And in this way, they are actually coming to us, you know. They are giving the money. We simply have to make the arrangements. They are giving the money, and initial setup costs us money. But after that, you know, so they supply. So I think, you know, and also Devi Deva Prabhu, you know, he has made millions of dollars just by supplying, you know, the homeless people. I mean, of course, they're making profit and things. I mean, here we can, American government is not like Indian government, you know. When they give you, they make sure that you also can make your profit. So we can think of, you know, ways and means to, you know, to expand our preaching. And ultimately, you know, it's all a matter of service. If we serve, they'll come to us. And at the time of difficulty, they will see that, you know, what we are capable of doing or how sincerely we are actually trying to benefit them. Ultimately, what do we have to take from them? We have nothing to gain from them. We can simply serve. And by serving, we get the joy. Like, you know, when we see, you know, so many school children are getting nice prasad, we feel happy. When we see the government is responding so favorably, we feel happy. And that's the way, you know, we feel, we experience our joy. Now what to speak of, you know, seeing how Krishna is becoming happy about that. Even in this platform, we experience this happiness.
Talks about the acharya, that how he, according to time, place, circumstances, they change. But it seems it's very difficult when many may come and proclaim that I am acharya. So how to recognize, how to see that yes, what he is changing is proper or not proper? Like just changing the books to come to a proper understanding, there were so much challenges. And another thing also, like in temple, changing something so how to come to
you see, it is not a matter of somebody coming and saying, I'm an acharya. It's a matter of somebody coming and doing things to expand Krishna consciousness. He is the acharya. It is not a matter of our claim. It is a matter of, you know, practical demonstration.
But if they don't allow even, we cannot walk on that. Suppose there is some method and we want to try, but then before even trial, it would be stopped. Don't do it. It is not proper. So to see the result,
then I will say, have to go out bypass those obstacles and do it. Yeah, if somebody is trying to stop you, just, you know, like, you know, Krishna consciousness movement is meant to expand, not to obstruct. If someone is obstructing preaching, if someone is obstructing service, then you have to understand that something is wrong. So why should you surrender to them? I mean, I'm saying that if the situation becomes like that, then, like we can see with Prabhupada, he tried to work with his god brothers. But when he saw that, you know, none of them are actually serious about serving, he didn't want to waste his time. He just carried on with his mission. See, for example, you know, like, yeah, there may be obstacles. Like, there are already some, you know, very serious criticisms about food distribution. But the thing is, you know, like, I mean, at the time of need, when people are going hungry, and if the food is distributed and if there is criticism, then better not to worry about that criticism. Just carry on doing it. What people think, what people talk is not important. What is the need of the moment? Acting according to that need is what is important. And that's why I'm saying acharya doesn't talk. He acts and he does. And that's how he becomes an acharya.
Prabhupada was not Acharya. Prabhupada never claimed that I am an Acharya. But the world has recognized Prabhupada as an Acharya, and the world will continue to see what a great Acharya Srila Prabhupada is through his action.
One question I wanted to ask on behalf of our one of the congregational member, Krishna Naidu. She was asking that you commented on that in one of your talk that we must bring at least one Western devotees. So she says, why Western devotees? There are so many Swami Narayan, so many others. Why we, any soul, if soul is why we are seeing the external dress, anybody who can, whole world needs.
There is no harm. Bring 20 Swami Narayans, but along with them bring at least one white person. We are not saying don't bring the Swami Narayan. Otherwise what will happen, what is happening is our institution will be seen as a Hindu organization and the actual purpose will be lost. It won't have that international flavor. Bring 20 Swami, 200 Swami Narayans. We are not stopping that. But along with that, bring a few white men so that, you know, this has an international flavor. I'm not saying don't bring Indians. Bring all the Indians. But I'm saying, what I'm saying is, don't just limit it only to the Indians. Then what's the point in calling it an international society for Krishna consciousness? And then what is the difference between Swaminarayan and ISKCON? Because, you know, like they are not attracting the Europeans. But what they, look what Prabhupada did. Prabhupada started this movement with the Americans and Europeans. And that is Prabhupada's unique ability and inconceivable achievement. Why didn't she ask me that question?
I was a little bit shy and she said that
okay, so you
buy this and
you give her this.
And if they don't want to come, what can be done?
If they don't want to come, how did Prabhupada bring them? How did Prabhupada bring them? And again, I will repeat. Mm-hmm. When I see only the Indians are coming, that means you are not preaching. Those who are coming on their own, we are just happy with them. If we are preaching, then it would have attracted other people. And people are ready to listen. People are ready to develop friendship. You know, if not, even if they don't accept the Krishna consciousness philosophy, but if they find good friends in us, they'll come to us.
That's
true. Thank you. Any question? Madhupati
Prabhu. Mm. With the credit crunch, at our center we saw that from January, suddenly we have a jump of 25% of increase in congregation.
Right. Right. At the time of distress, people will take shelter of Krishna.
More and more people come.
Right.
Like in India, they are asking for the prasad, like in Vrindavan also, 20 rupees to go and eat with brahmacharis, and many places Sunday feast, like in Indore also in the temple that they started, that if they want to take Sunday prasad, then they must pay whatever. I think they started with 50 rupees and they might have reduced. But last time I was there. So what is your suggestion? Should it be there? Should it not be there? How we should manage, means it is quite expensive. Anyway, to feed halwa, puri, sabji, and others. Here we manage because people donate, but there it is not there. So I just wanted your practical experience. So there be charge, not charge. Means many temples have started in India.
Well, my response will be, just do it the way Prabhupada did it. It was Sunday love feast.
people were invited to come, prasad was given. Now there may be reason, like, you know, all kinds of undesirable elements are coming, the same people are just coming, and but in order to control that, you know, we can probably take different other course than charging money. Because Prabhupada didn't charge, Prabhupada didn't want to, like, for example, you know, in Calcutta also we faced a similar situation. That, you know, it's the same people who are just coming.
Yeah, right.
You know.
Who will never take to Krishna consciousness. Those kind
they
of
don't take to Krishna consciousness, they just come to have a free meal. And as a result of that, you know, the genuine people, you know, were not actually coming. Because, you know, they're seeing that this temple is packed with these kind of characters. So then we started a system. We have so many life members who used to send invitations. And Sunday feast was on invitation. That only, you know, like, so as a result of that, what happened? We started to get newer and newer people coming, those were life members, and it was an opportunity to cultivate. So I personally would feel that, you know, these are the ways to actually go, not charge money. Because if you charge money for Sunday feast, then, you know, it sends a wrong message across. Like, for that matter, you know, Bombay Temple has so many people coming, they don't charge money. Chowpatty has such huge, you know, gathering on Sundays. They're happy. They're coming. 2,000-3,000 people are coming, you know. And they have assigned, they have given the assignment to different sanghas, groups, bhakti, you know, like they call it council. So, you know, different days, different groups are taking care, and it's their responsibility to feed.
So it's not a temple who is paying for the counselors?
They're probably, I don't exactly know. Maybe temple is probably paying for the bhoga. But, you know, ultimately bhoga is how much? You know, when you come, think of it, you know, like, it doesn't cost so much.
And even in this temple, Maharaj, I've been observing, people just come out and they sponsor.
Right, that's the thing, you know. If the right spirit is established, things will automatically happen.
You have given many practical hints, Maharaj, which is your sincere from your heart, and they are very valuable for us, from the children and to youth group, to us, to many families who wanted to see, and you have open door, anybody can come and walk and talk to you. And just this Ajay Kumar yesterday, and so he talked to you already. So that's a very genuine concern.
Last Sunday I couldn't actually keep my door open. Because I had some, you know, special guests. See, this is the thing, like these people, you see, there's a second Sunday feast that they came to, Sunday program. Because you see, they're very busy people, only time they can come is Sundays. The last one, they came in central New Jersey. I was there, when I was there, they came. This time also, they came here. And you know something, they're not only whites, they're Muslims. And this person, the husband, is actually the director of military peace mission of United Nations. You see, when they send army, the military, to establish peace in some areas, he is the person who decides. You know, it's a very important position.
So the thing is, you know, we can't say that. Here is a Muslim person, such an important, and of course very broad-minded Muslim. Very broad-minded. But you know, I mean, there, his wife was telling me the other day that I'm the first Indian, the Hindu Swami that he met. And she was telling, and from the very first meeting, two of you just clicked.
Mm-hmm. Was it here or in New York?
They live in New Jersey.
Oh, they live in New Jersey. So they came to this temple?
They came here, in this temple. They came here last Sunday, day before yesterday. And that's why, because I was talking to them, you know, like, I could not meet anybody else. I mean, quite a few devotees came from New York and all. Unfortunately, I couldn't.
But that's more important. You have to be there. Regular devotees.
Yeah. I mean, if I allowed everybody to come, then I couldn't speak to them properly. And we had some very in-depth discussions, you know, like, one topic came up, you know, Ralph was telling that, you know, about Islam. He's saying that Islam demands that you have to have the faith.
Mm.
So I pointed out, yes, you know, like, you know, naturally, you know, this spiritual progress or spiritual, you know, approach begins with faith. Not only spiritual, even material things begin with faith. When I go to study something, I go there with faith that they will teach me the right subject, the teachers are qualified. Even when I learned ABCD, you know, I had to accept it with faith. A is A and B is B. But then we have to understand that this faith will be verified in course of time. Then only the faith will become properly established. Otherwise, it will be just blind faith, and that is not desirable. And I pointed out that, yes, see, we cannot see God, we cannot see the spiritual reality with our eyes. So yes, we have to approach that domain with faith. But at the same time, with our intelligence and common sense, we can establish the proof of it. Like, you know, if I say, if I ask, did somebody make this? What will be your answer? I may not know him, but somebody, I at least assume that naturally somebody made this. Somebody made this. Somebody made this. You know, everything has been made by somebody. Now, who made this world? I may not know him. But at least our common sense will have to understand that, you know, somebody made it. And so when I was making that point, just don't leave it at blind faith and say that, well, whatever I'm saying, you have to accept. Rather, the approach should be, whatever I'm saying, see, it's rationally justified. Then only the faith will have its foundation. And come to think of it, that's the real problem with Islam. And he accepted it. So, you know, like, we can have a dialogue with people, you know, if we, you know, if we befriend them, you know, like, so that is how, you know, we have to, I mean, you have seen, like, I'm not even forcing them to come to a temple. She asked me, when she should come. I told her that from 6 to 7 I'll give the class and you come after that. Because, of course, last time they came and she was dancing. You know, after the thing when you're having the kirtan, she was dancing. But still, I said that this is what my program is. 6 to 7 I'll be giving the class. So you can come to the class. Then she said, actually, they have some guests. So they'll be a little late in coming. So, you know, there's no need to force. And let us just, you know, develop friendship. Have intelligent dialogue, intelligent discussions, and things will naturally happen.
And the thing is, you know, this program, actually in UN I had only one program this time, 5th. But when they got to know that I was coming on the 5th, I mean having a program in UN, they decided to have another program with me. So the program on the 6th is just a recent happening, and it's they are organizing it. And you know what will be the this program? There will be an imam from Muslim, and there's going to be a cardinal, some Christian man. So 3 of us are there. And Sally is going to moderate it. Let's have a dialogue. Let's, you know.
How it could reach to the international levels and people could differentiate.
Right, yeah.
What particular faith could give what to them.
Right.
Or how they could be closer to
right.
Krishna, God, or know Him more.
Right.
Can we say that their religion is very preliminary and does not give the ultimately they have to understand that it is denying religion, but it is not as advanced what they could gain.
That's true. And when they become exposed, they do understand it. Like, do you remember Ravanari? Ravanari is one of our god brothers. He is from Muslim background. He is the one who translated Bhagavad Gita in Arabic. Very brilliant preacher. I took him to India and had a program with him. And we went to different places. First started off in Calcutta, and then we went to Bangalore, not Chennai, Madras. At that time it was not Chennai, Madras, Bombay, Delhi. He was so brilliant. I mean, because he was not only a Muslim, he was coming from a family of mullahs, like generation after generation they are mullahs. So he was being trained up, you know, to become a mullah himself. And so he knew Quran like the back of his hand. And his presentation was, where Quran ends, Bhagavad Gita begins. And you know, like, I mean, to give an example, you know, how effective he was, we had a meeting with the governor of Karnataka. He was a Muslim. He gave only 15 minutes time for us, because you know they are very busy people, you know. So they give like, you know, 10-15 minutes to each. And we were with him for more than 1.5 hours. And Ravanari was doing all the talking. He was just listening. He was a brilliant preacher. And
where is he now?
Ravanari? Last I heard, he was in Canada.
I know those CPS from Iran who joined our movement, and they were in San Francisco area. I forgot their names. They are also Muslims. Sri Prabhupada went there.
One shot. What's that?
Srila Prabhupada also visited this Muslim thing. Brothers, they joined ISKCON from Iran. They are accountants.
Oh, Atreya.
Atreya, yeah.
Was it? Did he join with his brother? No, he was.
No, they are alone.
Yeah, Atreya was a GBC.
Right.
Prabhupada many a GBC. He's from Harvard. He's a Harvard graduate. Thank you, Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande.